The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. Today is May 11th, 2023 for the podcasters. All right. Hey, if you got a comment or you have a question, I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. And the calls usually get slow about this time of year because people going out, having fun, summer, you know, is on the horizon, spring is here, that kind of stuff. So we have to, go through that. And that's fine. But I want you to give me a call if you have a comment or a question on Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses or Catholicism or biblical theology, whatever it might be. I want to hear from you. So give me a call and then we can talk. We can blab nice and easy. If you can't call or don't want to call, get a little intimidated by being on the radio, then one option you have is to email me. Just can email us at, info@carm.org, info@carm.org, and we can get to your comments or questions. You can just send them in the email. Say, hey, radio question or radio comment, whatever it is, and then we can deal with that. So there's that. Also, if you really want to participate with us in a chat and stuff, you can do that. We have the show. It goes out live over the radio, but also it goes out live over broadcast over the internet. We have it on YouTube for the first 15 minutes of the show. Then we move over to Rumble. And if you are interested in joining us and the community that we have there, and you can watch it live with us, then it's rumble.com/Matt Slick Live. And that's it. Real simple, really easy to do. And you can see me sitting here in my gray shirt, gray hair, and multicolored background back there if you want to check it out. All right. Oh, and by the way, tonight I'm teaching a Bible study. We're gonna make sure we get this on the air right. It was something that wasn't right last week, but we've got the video working, we've got the audio working, we've got it all figured out, and we'll be going through Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 10, I think it is, and going through one verse at a time as we go through God's Word. So there you go, and you can check out that. It'll be at, we start at 7:30 our time, which is 9:30 Eastern time. Now that's late. I get it for the East Coast, but this is how it is, because the people who wanted me to do the Bible study wanted to come over to the house. So I teach out of our living room, one of our living rooms, and so they said, no, we want to come over, and we said, okay, do you mind if I put it on the air then? And they said no, and that's what, no problem. That's why we have it the way it is, and that's why it's at that time, because here locally in Idaho, people have to get off work and then they have to get cleaned up and then they come over. That's why it's at that time, because we do it live here. So there you go. And again, we invite you to email me with your comments or questions about the radio show. Seriously, if you've learned anything, say, hey, I learned stuff, and tell me what you learned, or you don't have to. Or you can say, you hate my guts, and tell me why, or I'm wrong about something, tell me why. I'll read it over the air. I enjoy those. And sometimes on Fridays, I'll do hate mail, and I love hate mail. So people enjoy that because of my reactions to hate mail. I get a kick out of it. So you can call me. All right, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Matt Slick. My question is, how can you tell the difference between a person who is practicing sin and a person who is struggling with sin? Or the Bible says that God said, we will not tempt you more than you can bear. He will provide a way of escape. So how can you tell the difference between the two?
Well, unless you have a spiritual issue or a spiritual discernment, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Outside of interviewing the person and seeing how the person is, you got to ask questions. That's what I always tell people. Ask questions. Find out where a person is. That's what I say. That's what you should do. Just ask and find out that way. And then see if they're struggling. If they believe it's sin, something is sinful, and then they can work with it. You know, try and make things better. You know?
So, what the Bible says that the Bible says nothing in the pistol. We got the word of God who's a seed, and you know he was born of God. We're not commit sin. So what's the proper meaning of that?
Yeah, in 1 John, it has to do with the Greek present tense. And let's see. So, let's see. I'm going back. I'll explain the Greek here. I'm looking for the verse. I can't find it. He doesn't practice sin is really what it is. Does not practice. That's why the NASB puts it that way. The issue is practicing sin. So, okay, I'm looking for a verse to find it. And maybe somebody will tell me in the chat. That's fine. So here's the thing. In present tense, for example, I walk. And then we have a participle, which is I am walking. So I walk is just a simple present, but a participle, a present participle, is a more complex present. It's a continuous action that's being perceived, so to speak. I am walking. It's in the process of doing it. I walk is a simple thing. Does it mean you're walking now? Your word is not exactly clear. All right, so let's put I walk as a number one and I am walking as a number 10. And where we have one, I walk, 10, I am walking. And between those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So in English, I walk is like a 1, I am walking is like a 10. But in Greek, I walk is like a 2. Has a little bit of an understanding of continued action. It has a little bit of a participial form. This is what I remember hearing, reading, learning in seminary when we were taking Greek, that in Greek, the present tense is not exactly the same as it is in English. It tends to have a slight continuing action in it. Just a very slight hint of it. That's how they talk. They do things like the historic present and participial present and things like this. So anyway, so that's what's going on, and that's why the NASB, I believe that's why the NASB translates it, doesn't practice sin. And that's what we have to be careful of, not practicing. Okay?
Okay, so how do you apply the verse where it's in Corinthians say that godly sorrow need to repent of their error? So how do you apply that to these things I mentioned?
Well, that's a different topic, and it's in 2 Corinthians 7:10, I believe that verse is. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So, godly sorrow comes from God with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and the person reacts, works with, and understands that, and they'll have a repentance that's true. And this whole thing is with salvation. The sorrow of the world is I got caught, and that's why they don't really have a true repentance and a true sorrow. It's just the sorrow of getting caught, not of their sin against a holy Lord. So there's a big difference there. Okay.
Okay. So can I ask one more quick question? The Cambrian explosion. Can I compare that when we're transforming and blinking our eye? Can that apply to that too?
No. Transform the blink of an eye. It deals with the rapture, and out of 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about the will be made. The Cambrian explosion is roughly 505 to 530 million years ago. The average I've read is 515 million years, and it's called the Cambrian explosion because in the fossil record, the Cambrian level has a sudden appearance of about 40 different phyla. Phyla is a body type like a horse or a snake or a bird or a fish or a human or a centipede. They're complex, differentiated physical types. That's what a phyla is, P-H-Y-L-A. So the shortest range of time I've heard about the Cambrian explosion is 5 million years, and the longest that I've read is, if I remember correctly, is like 25 to 30 million years. So let's just take the average of 15 million years. So if that's the case, what the evolutionists like to say is that during the Cambrian explosion, roughly 15 million years, then these new phyla are produced out of 15 million years, and it's doable, but that's not what the evidence shows. The evidence shows at the very beginning of the Cambrian explosion and the fossil record, all of those new phyla suddenly appear very quickly. Not enough time to evolve, according to the evolutionary theory. So there's a real problem. But you don't hear about it in evolutionary circles. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, sir, like always. Keep doing the great work.
Man. Okay. Well, God bless. All right. Yeah, it's called the Cambrian explosion, folks. There's a lot of counter evidence to evolution, so don't buy into it. There is a lot of counter evidence. I gradually researched this kind of stuff. But the Cambrian explosion, you can look it up, Cambrian explosion, and the sudden appearance of fossils in the Cambrian explosion. I mean sudden, in that 40 new body types. That's how's that work? Where are the transitionals? Well, they're not there, and that's a problem. All right, let's get to Diane from Ohio. Hey, Diane, welcome. You are on the air.
Yes, Matt.
Hi.
I would like to say I enjoy your show so much.
Oh, good.
My daughter, who is 24 years old, was married. Okay. And now she has gotten divorced, and she has married a woman. I mean, it was such a terrible thing. And I actually love the woman that she's married to and her whole family, but I don't know. Is my daughter just doomed for hell?
I don't know. If she repents of her sin and trusts in Christ, then she'll be okay. If she doesn't do that and abides in sin and seeks it and lives in it, then she's doomed.
Okay, she has always been to church her whole life. She has been saved. She has been baptized. And she still believes in the Lord Jesus, but
she's a liar. She's a liar. 1 John 2:4 says, if you say you know him and do not keep his commandments, the truth is not in you, and you are a liar. That's what the Bible says. I have to just tell you the truth. I can't just say, well, you know, as long as she's sincere, it'll work out. Okay?
So my question is, if she stays in this relationship, is she doomed for hell?
It's not because she's staying in a relationship that's sinful that she's doomed. It's because she hasn't trusted in Christ. So homosexuality, lesbian marriage, you know, it's very sinful. It's a rebellion against God. It's an evidence that such a person and people are not regenerate and not Christians. They can say they are, but they don't understand what it really means to pick up their cross and follow after Christ and turn away from such evil, because it is. Okay. Now, if you hold on, we got a break coming up. Let's talk about this some more, about how to handle it a little bit more and stuff like that in a loving way, all right? Okay. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. We have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? I hope you're having a good time. We got a serious topic here we got to get to. And I hope you're listening. And as we get back to this lady, the idea of comfort and truth often don't go together. But we do need to discuss this issue. Diane, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So, my obligation as a minister of the gospel is to tell the truth. It doesn't mean we just say it and say, hey, there you go, now bye, see you later. But we do need to tell the truth and not compromise it because we don't want to get the impression that their great sin is acceptable to God. And
yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, my daughter is not a believer and asked if she and her boyfriend could come over and spend the night here. And my wife and I said, nope, you can't do that, together. And because it's our house, and we don't approve of that sin. If you're married, that's fine. We don't care. But you're not. And so we say, no. Well, that means they don't really like us as much. Well, that's just the way it goes. They understand our position. And, you know, we say, come on over, you know, both, come on over. And, you know, we'll treat you fine. But you can't participate in any of those things that we consider to be sinful. And so we're not going to support you in that. And that's how it is. You know, they have their own lives. They can do what they want. And if they want to do what they want to do in a hotel, that's their business, but not in our house. So,
yeah.
If let's just say one of my daughters did, you know, was lesbian, married a woman, I would not recognize the marriage as being valid. And I would never say, well, your wife. I wouldn't say it. I don't believe it. And I believe it's sinful.
They were married with a preacher.
I don't care.
But
the preacher's an apostate piece of crud. Any preacher worth his or her his salt, excuse me, woman anyway, would never approve of anything like that.
I don't see that as holy.
Yeah, so that preacher's an apostate unbeliever. Okay, just right away. So
okay.
I don't care what, you know, preacher says. I'll be glad to talk to him, you know, and get on him. You know, if they invited you to a wedding, to go to a wedding, you don't go because you can't approve of it. If they say, hey, we're going to come over, we're married, so we're going to sleep in the house. No, you don't. You say, nope, I don't recognize that as a valid marriage, as a sin against God. And you can come over for dinner, but if you do kissing stuff, we're going to ask you to leave. We're just not going to approve of sinful behavior in the house. So, you be nice, you know, you tell them, look, this is what we believe. And, you know, come on over and visit, both of you if you want, but we don't recognize you as being married. I don't care what society says. We don't recognize it. Okay?
God don't recognize it.
Yeah, he doesn't. Right. That's right, God does not, so we should not.
It's so sad for me, but my question is, will she go to hell if she don't get out of this relationship? I mean, she is a good person.
That has no bearing on whether she's saved or not. Yeah. So the thing is, if her open rebellion against God in this issue, her desire to serve herself and her flesh instead of God, it's a demonstration of the weakness of who and what she is. There's always the possibility that she's saved, but if that's the case, God's discipline upon her will be severe. And he could kill her, take her home. That's a possibility. The other possibility is that he'll just let her wallow in her sin until she breaks and comes back in repentance. That's a possibility. But aside from those, I don't know what the future is for either one of them. I can't say. But I would not call her a Christian, and I would not recognize that marriage. That's how I would be. Okay?
Okay, Matt. Okay. Right. I appreciate everything that you have said, and I respect everything that you've said.
Yeah, it's
and
it's tough, I know.
I'm heartbroken.
Yeah,
okay.
I would,
thank you
I
very
would be
much,
too.
Matt.
I would be too. Yeah. All right, well, I'm sorry to bear bad news.
I've given sorry. It to God because I don't know what else to do with it, but
no. You can love them.
I just needed to talk to you about this.
Yeah. You can love them and be kind and courteous, but you just say, I don't recognize it as a marriage, and you can't, you know, show any lesbian affection here in my house. And if you don't like that, You're free to, you know, do that where you want, but not in my house. And you'd say, but you're welcome to come for dinner, and I'll treat you both nicely, but I don't recognize it as being true. And that it's a sin against God. That's it. This kind of stuff will cost you. It'll cost you friendships. It'll cost you family members. It does.
Can I ask you one other question? Is one sin worse than the other?
Yes.
I mean, say it. Okay.
Yes. Jesus said that to the Jews who delivered him over, he says, the one who delivers you over, or me over to you, has the greater sin. So Jesus said there's greater sin. And it's, all sin is not equal. Some is worse. So when you go to Romans chapter 1, and you start in roughly verse 24, what's really interesting about this, and I'll read it to you, it's interesting. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. So this is the sin that God judges you while you're still alive. Now, if you read this to them, they might say, well, we acknowledge God and say, yeah, the same way the devil does. Yeah, you believe in God, you do well. The devil believes, the demons believe and tremble. James 2:19. To acknowledge God is to acknowledge him as Lord, not just that he exists. And they, she's not doing that, that he is the Lord. She is not in her lordship relationship with Christ. She is her own Lord, and she's rebelling, and God's judgment is upon her and others who approve of it. It's unfortunate, but that's what it is. Okay.
Okay. Can I ask you again what that was? Romans?
Romans 1, starting at verse 24. Okay?
Romans.
All right.
Romans chapter 1.
Romans 1, 24.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. All right. God bless.
Okay.
Hey, folks, there's the break, the music coming on. We're at the bottom of the hour. Nobody waiting. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are having fun in the chat room. And if you want to join us there, you can have fun with us. 877-207-2276. And I asked a question. We got to talk about all kinds of stuff. I was drinking some iced tea during the break, and someone said, hey, is that prune juice? And I put in the question, where's this from? Prune juice, it's a warrior's drink. Where's that from? All right, let's get to
no longer
Allie,
necessary.
Allie from
and
Virginia.
And you see what I mean? And that was just within two, three verses I read.
Allie, are you there?
And it just,
Allie.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're on the air. All right, so what do you got?
Oh, geez, I didn't know I was rattling on the air. Oh, my God.
You weren't on the air. You weren't.
I didn't know I was rattling on the air. I was talking to some gentleman.
No, you were not.
Some other gentleman.
You were not rattling on the air, okay? More than 3 seconds or 4 seconds. All right, so what do you got? So what's up?
Well, my concern is, okay, different, God inspired different people to write the various books of the Bible, and yet, from out of those same exact books of the Bible, we've got so many different faiths and religion and understanding. And I want to know, why in the world could God not make it so clear to his scribes, I guess you'd call them, to where when, like, you and I and others read those same words, why don't we all understand it? Just like in the history of America. Well, we understand it when the teacher says this or that. We don't have all different ideas about what happened. No, it's history. We understand it. But when it comes to the Bible, that's not the way it is. And that's what's so hard on me. I want to believe what God wants me to believe.
Hey, Allie, can you, Allie, can you hold on? Allie, are you asking a question or what? You have a question?
Yeah, that's my question. I don't know
what
God wants me to believe anymore. So it's almost like I don't know
Allie, can you hold on? Allie, you're just going Allie, I need to be able to ask you questions. And if you keep talking and you don't hear me, it's just not working. So what's your question?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were asking me anything.
Yes, that's true. I'm aware of that. So what's your question?
My question is, how can I know when I am reading the scriptures that what I'm reading is actually what it is that God would want me to believe from the Bible, because we all believe so differently?
Okay, so
that's what I want to know. How can I know?
Wait. You already said it. I got it. Okay. So there's a couple of issues. You have to separate, because others believe something differently. That's a different question than how do you know, or how's you going to get God to show you what is correct? It's irrelevant what other people believe. Okay? Don't think about that.
I can see it from the way you're saying it.
Just look at it as what the scriptures teach. All right? Now, some scriptures are very easy to... Some scriptures are very easy to understand. John 11:35, Jesus wept. He's at the tomb of Lazarus, and he wept. It's easy to understand. He was weeping.
Correct.
Would you agree? Okay. Good.
Well, yes.
Now, okay. Now, there's a verse, for example, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. That's a little more complicated. So then you have to look up what the word sheep means. What do you mean by sheep? Well, you study.
I'm one of his, so I'm one of his sheep.
Yes. So the sheep, the true...
That's as simple as it can be.
The true believers hear the voice of Jesus. False sheep, or they're not real sheep, they're goats. They don't follow Christ. They follow something else. Like Joseph Smith, or Charles Taze Russell, and Jehovah's Witnesses, or the Pope. Okay? So it's an issue here of just understanding by just reading and studying patiently. It's not that hard to do. There are some tough things in Scripture, but those are the things that come later, and then we study them.
Well, okay. I understand all that. I mean, that's not my problem. It's just that after reading and understanding, I've been a believer since I was approximately 10 and a half. I'm now 77. That's a lot of years in the Lord. Went to Bible college to even gain a better understanding.
Good.
And I don't know.
Let me ask you some questions.
Going through something where God's trying to bring me through something to learn. I don't know.
Let me ask you some questions, okay? All right?
Yeah.
So here's some basic stuff, all right? Just some basic doctrine questions. Let's see what you understand, all right? So is Jesus a man right now? Okay. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, you said a man right now.
Is Jesus a man right now? What's the answer? What?
Well, he's spiritual. And he came to earth and was a man. I don't know right this minute if he is or not.
Okay.
I don't think he would be, because he's spiritual.
Okay, he is a man right now. This is basic Christian doctrine.
Oh, okay, then he is a man right now.
Yes, he rose from the dead in the same body he died in. That's John 2:19.
Oh, that's right, yes.
John 2:19-21 and 1 Corinthians 15:35-45. So
okay,
there are varying verses, okay? And do you know what the Trinity is, for example?
My understanding is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one, but with like three different, I call them like functions, or why they are as they are. One's as a Father, one's as the Son, and then the other's as the Holy Spirit, but yet they're all one. They take on like three entities when need be. Like when Christ came to earth, he took
Hold on.
But
Allie,
he was in
Allie, you have to hold on. You're saying so many things, all right? And you're not saying them properly. You don't understand what's going on. I'm trying to jump in so you don't build on error. So if I ask a simple thing, just a simple answer is all that's needed, not an explanation of things, okay? If I say, please explain something, that's different than, do you know what it is? Define it. So the definition of the Trinity is one God in three simultaneous, coexistent persons. They're separate persons, but they're simultaneous. Not that they're consecutive, not that they're modes, okay? So let me ask you. Are we justified before God? Are our sins forgiven before God by faith alone in Christ alone? Or do you have to add works to it? Which is it?
It's just by faith, that deep abiding faith where you accept Him as your Savior, but also as your Lord.
Yes.
Are we justified before God
by faith alone or by faith and works?
Just by faith.
Good.
And then faith, you will want to do good works. It's not turned the other way around.
Right. There you go. So, you know, you have the basics down. Don't know how to articulate them very well, but a lot of people don't because they don't really talk about
it. Yeah, I don't.
Them. And that's okay. It's
all right. I don't articulate well. Yeah.
It's okay. Most people don't. And I do it all the time, so I know how to articulate it and kind of steer people in the right direction. But what I'm looking for is the underlying belief, not the right way to say it. So, you know, the thing is that you just need to continue to read the Word and ask God to open up your heart and your mind to His Word. There are people of different opinions.
Well,
don't worry about
that. That's what I do.
That's what you do.
I ask Him to give me a clear mind so I have a clear understanding, or else how can you have an understanding that's clear if you don't have a clear mind?
That's,
and I just ask God to give me a clear mind so I truly understand. But so many of us think so differently about the very, very, very same words
out of the same section
of a verse chapter the book of James.
Allie, I'm trying to tell you.
Nothing is clear. And if it is, it's clear so differently to so many different people.
Allie, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can now.
Okay.
I couldn't for a while.
Wow. Allie, don't worry about others. Don't worry about them. You worry about what God wants you to know, and you study His Word. Don't worry about others, okay? They'll confuse you. Study the Word. He'll bless you. Okay, we got to go. There's a break, Allie. So God bless, okay? Hey, folks, for open lines, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Hey, just want to give you a heads up. Someone asked me, I'm going to test it right now, just did a test on the CARM site. If you want to know where we have our media on Clubhouse, Discord, Facebook, forums, Gab, MeWe, LinkedIn, Odyssey, Rumble, Twitter, USA Life, YouTube, Getter, Instagram, Sermon Audio, and Social Truth, or Truth Social. Just go to carm.org/media, M-E-D-I-A. It'll forward you to the page. You can see all that stuff. And we need to keep that updated so that we can, you know, just keep it updated. Well, that's one place you can go to check things out. Let's get to, let's see, George from Ohio. Hey, George, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. Hey, I just want to take just only a short time and just give you a word of encouragement. I was flipping through the stations, and I picked up your station, and I was driving, and of course, I don't want to break the law here, so I pulled over the side of the road, and I got your number, and I just want to give you a word of encouragement, Matt. You know, you really speak the truth, and I said, man, I got to tell this brother. Get him a word of encouragement. I don't know nothing about you, don't know nothing about your background, but what I heard in the last 45 minutes, I said, man, you know what? I'm compelled. The Lord is sending me a word of encouragement. So I'm sending you a word of encouragement, brother. Keep up what you're doing. You're speaking the truth, and I really enjoy hearing. I just love hearing the truth, the truth of God, because it's so the diversity of it these days has been so mixed up. So having said that, I want to babble on. I want to get you to your questions, but I just want to give you a word of encouragement and say thank you.
Well, it's encouraging to hear encouragement, so thank you for saying that. I do appreciate it. And I hope you keep listening, because you might find some things you're not going to agree with in some particular areas, like, you know, maybe you believe in pre-trib, rapture, and post-trib, things like that. Who knows? But I do try and deliver the truth according to the Word of God. So, okay?
Right, yeah. I don't get into all the particulars, but I have not to boast or brag of myself. I did a lot of years in prison. I changed my life. I got a master's degree in divinity. So, wow. I mean, I'll let the Lord's figure out all the particulars, but the common denominator is the basic fundamental of the gospel, and what I've heard, I just want to give you a word of encouragement, brother.
Well, thank you, and praise God that you're redeemed and he's using you. So, good. All right. So, keep listening.
Yeah. Amen. Have a good night, Matt.
You too, George. God bless. Thanks. All right. Oh, yeah, that was good. I like to hear that. I don't get to hear that very often, but I'm not just saying I need it, but hey, it's nice. You know, it's nice every now and then you hear somebody who, you know, good encouraging word. We need that kind of thing, all of us do. Let's get to Rick from Charlotte, North Carolina. Rick, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
You know, I hear a lot of people, you know, I guess Christians, you know, you give your heart to the Lord and he becomes your Lord and Savior. But I guess if they've never really walked with the Lord growing up and whatnot, so many people in the world, they say, like, OMG, the actual sentence,
right.
Or,
mm-hmm.
You know, they use the word, his name, and I know, like, from what I've learned is using his name in vain, and I just, I know that it, to me, I cringe when I hear people say it, and they also say, you know, that they're a Christian or they believe in the Lord. It's just, I think it's just that they don't really realize that they're saying it, but I'm wondering if they would kind of learn, or kind of not even learn, but get the Holy Spirit, because what he's done to me is how he made me from saying his name in vain. How would you explain that to someone on how to get them from just taking it so loosely and saying, there's plenty of them, you know, the terrible ones with JC, HS, you know, I hear that so much.
Yeah. Yes, there's a great deal, and I'm with you. Every single time I hear the Lord's name being used in vain, I cringe. It causes me discomfort. I find it offensive and blasphemous. And even when Christians do it, and they'll do that. They're so used to the things of the world that too many Christians will say the Lord's name. Now, the name of God properly is Yahweh, and of the person of Christ, Jesus. But the phrase, the name of the Lord, it has to do with all his titles as well. God and Lord, the Sovereign. You and as Christians, we're always supposed to only use those words with reverence. And so that's how it's supposed to be. Okay, having said that, what do we do?
Yeah, and I wanted to just say, you know, what he's done to me, when I'm going to say that, it's going to be when I see him, because you're not going to be able to not say that when you see him. And it'll be well worth the feeling that's coming, you know, when you're saying it out of your mouth. I want to just let all the listeners know that when you save it for the day that you see your Lord and Savior, you can say it then with gladness and happiness.
Well, we can, as Christians, we can use his name reverently, and that's how it should be. But what do we do when unbelievers are like that around us? It depends on the circumstances. So I've literally preached a sermon calling a particular church to repent, the members of it, who are using the Lord's name in vain a lot, and I called them out on it. And when I was a guest preacher,
and
I've done that.
Yeah.
But also, I had a job once, and there's an example of something, where I was working at Hewlett Packard at one of the facilities, and I was a computer tech, and we had a room that we could all go into. There were about 40 techs on this huge campus. We were taking care of all the computers, thousands of them. And so we were pretty busy. When we went into this one room, we could only get in with a badge and security and things like that, but take any equipment and stuff. Well, in that, behind those doors, they would speak in foul language. They use the Lord's name in vain. And so when I first started working there, I never cussed, and I would never use the Lord's name in vain, and I just waited. After a while, they said, why is it you don't cuss, and when we tell these jokes, you just walk away? And I said, because I don't appreciate them. And they found out that, you know, I have a Master's of Divinity, and I wanted to go into ministry and be a pastor. And I said, look, you guys do what you want. You can cuss in the whole bit. But I said, I'm just going to tell you that when you use the Lord's name in vain, it offends me. It causes me pain every single time you do it. And I'm only bringing it up now because you guys are inquiring. And that was it. I said, if you still do, that's your business. But I just want you to know it's offensive to me. But I'm not going to go complain to anybody. I'm not going to call you and report. I'm just telling you. And it took a few months, but they stopped. They stopped doing it around me. So
yeah, I've learned,
you know, being pushy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've learned that, you know, a lot of them don't realize that they're doing it. And so, you know, once, you know, I never really said it in my life. I don't know how God had a way with me growing up. I never went to church till like I turned 30. So it's amazing. You know, when they don't know it, and I think of myself, it's like, wow, just like I didn't know it, you know, I would complain at the beginning, but now I pray for them. And just like I was, you know, I hear the Lord telling me, like, you cursed. I mean, the other words, not ever, you know, the Lord's name in vain. But I think that was me. I could hear them say, you know, the other curse words, you know, but really, like, even on your show, I hear people, you know, they say OMG, but, mm-hmm. You know, they just don't know. I just say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, and I pray that you would, you know, light it up, you know, let them hear it and see it one day so that they can honor you and everything that they do.
Yes. In fact, a guy did it yesterday, and I was going to address it, but I had to be careful when I address it. If someone does it a lot, then I will address it. I'll say, do you know that you're using the Lord's name in vain? And I've done it on the air before and politely rebuked believers. And I don't understand how they can do that. But, you know, they may say, hey, man, I don't understand how you can get away with such and such. You know, we're different. I'm not judging them. But I will just say that they need to, and all Christians need to use the Lord's name with reverence. Any title attributed to him. You know, my mom and dad would often use the Lord's name in vain, and it just hurt every time. In fact, when we had a point where, and when my wife and I were married, had kids, they'd come over, and a few times it would slip. And I remember addressing it, saying, please, when you're over here, don't do that. Just please don't do that. You know, and try to be as respectful as possible. But people need to know. They need to know.
Yeah.
So,
I really do believe they don't realize they're doing it, and they don't do it purposely. But if they really would feel, if they really learn, and just by prayer, they'll see that that's all. To me, it was like my opening to the Spirit, and allowing myself to grow, to get through that alone was what really got me close to the Lord spiritually, because it was almost respecting him and starting my relationship with him was number one, to honor his name. So I just think, I want to thank you for your time and thank you for explaining all of that.
Well, good. I'm glad that you said that, because that's really good. You have that heart, the same heart I have about that. I don't want his name to be misused. It's too wonderful. And too many Christians.
Absolutely.
You know,
I can't stop talking about him.
Well, praise God, brother.
Well, God bless you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. What you do. You're a great help to everyone out here.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
You are.
I do.
You are.
Praise God.
Praise God. Well, praise God.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Well, God bless. All right. Well, we have nobody waiting right now, and just a couple of minutes left in the show. So let me kind of talk about that a little bit, the issue of using the Lord's name in vain. As a Christian, we're not supposed to do that. We're never supposed to speak of the Lord and his title, his name, in any way other than with reverence. That's how it's supposed to be. And so, if you're a Christian, let's just say, and you claim to know Christ, and you say, OMG, I won't say it, but you say that you need to repent. If it's just casual conversation, you're exclaiming something, you know, I'm surprised, and then you say it, that's sin. And as a Christian, you should only revere God's name and speak with reverence to the Holy Lord. He's the one who is the King immortal, the King eternal, the King of glory and of holiness. And so we should not be so callous as to speak his name in a casual manner. And that's just how it is. So if you're a Christian, and if you're an unbeliever, and you use the Lord's name in vain like that, each time you do it, judgment inches further across your soul. Hardness and darkness, as you don't even revere him. And it's a little bit of judgment that comes to you each time you do it, and you're given over to it, and judgment will come like an axe later on. All right, there you go, folks. Hope you had a good time listening, and may the Lord bless you, and by his grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow, and Lord willing, we'll talk to you then. So God bless everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.